We continue our reading of the Gospel of Matthew, coming today to chapter 12, beginning at verse 22. Matthew 12, 22 to 37. Now, the opposition is now beginning and mounting against the Lord Jesus. John the Baptist has been arrested, and the Pharisees are coming to where Jesus is, and they're giving a counter-narrative to the message Jesus is giving. This, of course, is going to culminate in the crucifixion of our Lord by these same people. Now, what's interesting here is that Jesus, again, is casting out demons, and he's giving sight to the blind, and he's healing people. And the Pharisees are going to make a claim that Jesus is a fraud because it's actually, they say, by the power of Satan, Beelzebul, they call him, the prince of demons, that he's casting out demons. Now, well, that's a major claim. Jesus all this time has been in Galilee. He's been preaching the kingdom of God. He's given the Sermon on the Mount. He's been giving sight to the blind. He's been raising the dead. And they're saying, don't think this is from God. This is actually from Satan to deceive you. And this is going to be challenged by the Lord Jesus. Now, his basic challenge is that does not make sense because it's against the kingdom of Satan and death and sin and misery that I'm operating, and a house cannot be divided against itself. Satan's power does not work against Satan. But he makes a few statements here that are very significant. Verse 28, he says, "If it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Now, Jesus is saying that the character of his works are proving his origin. And he also points out, it's not the only place in Matthew's gospel by any means, but that there's a unity between his works and the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's true today. How is Christ doing wonders today? People say, oh, I wish I could live in a time when Jesus was doing miracles. You live in a time when Jesus is doing miracles, and he's doing it by the same power, by the Holy Spirit. What do you think conversion is? What do you think is happening in your life? As your character is going to be shaped, we're going to hear about God loves his children today, and he wants to mold us in the family image. That's a supernatural. The analogy is the very thing we're seeing in the Bible, the outward reality. It's like you were blind, but now you see. It's like you were deaf, a mute, now you can speak. It is the supernatural transformation of our lives and the deliverance of our lives from the power of Satan, and he does it today through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, primarily by the Word of God. He also makes a statement in verse 29, "How can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man?" Now, that's a description that Jesus uses at several places, and it's going to be used of him later in the Bible. That what did Jesus accomplish? Well, there's a lot to say about it. But Jesus came into the world, as John the Apostle says in his first letter, to overthrow the works of the devil and to release us from bondage to Satan, this usurper. We never belonged to him by right. He usurped us. And Satan holds people in thrall. Now, it is a teaching of the New Testament that one of the effects of the finished work of Christ in his first coming is that he breaks the power of Satan over his people. Later on in the gospel, in Luke's gospel, I think particularly when the 72 evangelists go out and they preach the gospel and they come back and they give the report, Jesus, he responds not the way that we would respond. We would say, good job. Jesus said, I saw Satan falling down from heaven. Same language. He's lost his right to accuse in heaven. And that's the result, ultimately, of the atoning work of Christ on the cross and its preaching in the world. The book of Revelation in chapter 20 will describe this present age of the world, resulting in the first coming of Christ, as that time when Satan is bound so that he may deceive the nations no longer. His power of deception has been overcome by Jesus. His power of accusation. He's gone into a house. There were captives in the house. He's bound the strong evil man, and he's delivered his people. What a great way to think about what our Lord Jesus has done, and that's found here. Now, this passage, particularly in verses 31 and 32, have afflicted many Christians, because he says that what they've done is a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And he says, whoever speaks against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. And so countless Christians have said, oh, even though I believe in Jesus, I'm going to hell because I in my mind, I blaspheme. It's amazing how often Satan, how many people Satan is able to get to do that, or our sinful nature, and there's this blasphemous thought, and we go, oh no, I can't go to heaven now. Well, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is not a blasphemous thought in your mind, or even words that you spoke in some crazy way, but it's what's going on here. That they see, the thing with the Pharisees is they now know who he is. Jesus has proved himself to him. They are aware that he is the Messiah. They are aware that he's bringing the kingdom of heaven. But in the hardness of their hearts, they ascribe what is the work of the Holy Spirit to the devil. And that is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. By definition, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the promised Savior, you have not committed the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So don't let that. It's amazing how often that comes up in pastoral settings. It comes from this verse. No, it's talking about that hardness of heart. And of course they can't be forgiven because they've rejected the only source of forgiveness. It's that hardness of heart that knowingly despises Jesus as Savior and Lord. Now, the last few verses make the point made so often by Jesus that the tree is known by its fruit. Jesus is known by his deeds. The quality of the fact that he brings the kingdom of God is known by the character of the works that he does. And our salvation is also known by our deeds. We heard in Sunday school this morning, one of the chief proofs of the assurance of salvation is that God's been changing my life. And we are known, the way to tell a good tree from a bad tree is by the good fruit that it bears. We are to be bearing good fruit for the Lord. Well, with all that said, let's give ear now to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 22 of Matthew 12. Then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him, so that the man spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Can this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons." Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not scatter with me, does not gather with me, scatters. Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.